Welcome back to the Anxious Aquarius. That feels so weird and so good at the same time to say. I know that I have been kind of teasing everybody for months about coming back. Trust me, I have been feeling so bad about this. But just know that after recording this episode, I am going to pre-record a few more at the same time, so that way I can stay ahead and post consistently and still have time to have those weeks where I'm not feeling super creative enough to decide what I want to talk about and still be able to post an episode that week because I've, you know, stayed ahead and pre-recorded. So I have missed you guys so much. I went to look back and see when the last time I posted an episode was, and it was August of 2021. That was the beginning of my kids' school year, and it's already spring break. That's so crazy to me. Around that time, I think I was like 2 months in to a new position that I started with the company that I was already with. I don't really ever want to go too into what my day job is on here, just obviously for the purpose of keeping that separate, but I will just say that I became a trainer at the company that I'm working for, and it was a lot to take on. I think I started the position in like June or July of 2021, so it's been about 8 or 9 months, and it has been a wild ride. Not in a bad way, but just in a productive, busy way. Trying to prioritize, finding a good groove there. So that's part of why I've been MIA for a while. It's been a lot to learn and practice, and most of my energy really needed to go to that. I do, as a trainer, talk a lot. I lead a lot of Zoom classes over training, and it can be really emotionally draining sometimes, still in a good way. I don't mean that in a negative way, but just, you know, talking for sometimes close to 8 hours a day can be, you know, really draining to your energy, and still have a great time doing it, but definitely still draining. So it was really difficult to, you know, go do that and then come home and try to do this, because this is also a lot of talking. So I had only been with the company about 6 or 7 months when I started the training position, so I definitely did not feel qualified in the least. Definitely felt like a fraud, but it has been incredible. It's been the most incredible job I've ever had in my life. And I truly, truly mean that. It is the dream job that I never knew was my dream job. I guess, you know, before that, when people ask you like, what's your dream job? And, you know, something fun like getting paid $1 million a year to like play with goats and chickens and stuff, that sounds nice. But obviously that's not reality. I really didn't know, you know, what my dream job would be. I don't think I ever really pictured you know, having a job that I went to every day, where I also like absolutely loved being there, and, you know, didn't think about it the whole weekend. Like, I've worked at jobs where I dreaded being there all week, and then on the weekend, you know, I couldn't stop thinking about work because I didn't want to go back. Like, I didn't want Monday to come, and that would always, of course, make Monday come faster. But yeah, I think that might be it, you know, like maybe it not being the most easy job. I guess I kind of always put those two and two together, like, your dream job has to be an easy job. I never really pictured that it would also be work, like your dream job would also be work. But after starting it, I really realized pretty quickly that this was definitely my dream job that I had no idea would be my dream job. Don't get me wrong, because it has definitely been stressful at times, to say the least. But the good kind of stress that makes you feel busy and productive and valued and helpful. I feel like I have learned so much about myself in these past 8 or 9 months than I have in years. I've learned that ultimately what fulfills me and gives me joy and energy is helping others. And I don't mean that in a like super cliche way, like I just love helping others, but in a way that like where it brings me joy to watch others begin to believe in themselves. It makes me so happy and so fulfilled to see the light in someone's eyes when something finally clicks for them, especially when they felt defeated and have worked so hard and suddenly it finally just clicks. There's no like way to describe it, whether that be like a procedure at work or something about their mental health and mindset. I have always had to figure most things out on my own in life. So like how things work, what's the most productive way to do something, credit scores, taxes, do's and don'ts of buying a car, a house, etc. And I wish so much at times that I had learned what I know now a whole lot sooner. But, you know, it is what it is. So anytime I get the opportunity to help others do that, or even just give them hope in a bad situation, like, no, this is not the end. This is the beginning. This is where you can go from here. And they finally start to see the bigger picture of their life. It is very, very fulfilling to me to have the honor and privilege to get to witness, you know, pivotal moments like that. I believe very much that everyone has the capability of understanding, learning, and implementing anything that they desire to, and that the only thing in their way is figuring out the method in which they are going to most relate to and understand. I don't think anyone excels when they constantly feel stuck. I excelled in elementary school. I was an honor roll student, always had great grades, parent-teacher conferences. My teachers always said great things about me. I mean, except that I talked too much, but you know, what girl didn't get that in elementary school? And then middle school hit. It was a completely different, you know, layout of your day, you know, when you go from elementary to middle school. Looking back, that's such a delicate time in a young child's life, when it comes to hormones and brain development. And at that time was also when, you know, the biggest brunt of my trauma really began. Like, I had some things happen before that, that were, you know, moments, but this is when it really was consistent day-to-day kind of trauma. And I definitely know that that also played a huge role in my ability to thrive and focus, when all I could think about, you know, were those situations that were happening at home on a daily basis. And I didn't know it yet, but that time, you know, going into middle school was really the beginning of my lifelong journey of getting to know myself and what thriving for me was going to require and what that was going to look like. One of the biggest reasons why it took so many years, though, is because before I could do that, I needed to let it be okay that I didn't learn or understand the same way my friends did, you know, or the way people that I looked up to did, and neither did they. You know, they didn't learn the same way as other people did, and I'm sure that there were ways where they felt inadequate as well, even though I thought they were perfect. There was this huge, like, veil of shame and embarrassment that was completely blinding me for many, many years. It was like I was driving in a roundabout in a circle over and over for years, not knowing how to get out, because I was so focused on making sure that I exited the same way other people did, that I didn't know which exit was the right one for me to take. And I was completely blind to realizing that we aren't all taking the same exit. Like, there was a big sign that says, "Sarah, you need to exit here." And I was like, no. I didn't see anyone else take that exit, so that must be a trap. But, I mean, no path is the wrong one as long as you get to where you're going and you don't run over anyone else in the process. That might not be the best analogy, but I think that you get what I mean. So in doing that and trying to do what others did to get good grades and stay focused, all I was really doing was making myself hate who I was and feel like I couldn't do anything right. I think that boys in school definitely had their fair share of issues, but also it was a little bit more acceptable if they didn't do well in school. Like, oh, you know, boys will be boys. Not to diminish their school experience, but, you know, as a girl not doing well in school, there was so much extra shame around that, I feel like. Like, girls are supposed to excel at school. They're supposed to have beautiful handwriting and always do their homework and have a super organized agenda and be a great note taker, you know, be able to get up early and do their hair every day and wear great outfits and then also be able to do all of that. And that just did not come easy for me in the first place. And then add in, you know, going home and constantly feeling on edge and afraid to be home on top of that. When your brain is constantly in fight or flight mode, how in the world does geometry sound retainable? But anyways, compared to my friends, I would go to sleepovers and stuff, hang out with my friends, and whenever we would be talking about school, I would feel so inadequate. They would have A's and B's, and I would have D's and F's. We would be talking about, you know, they would say something about, like, the quiz on Monday, and I would be like, "What quiz are you talking about?" Or, "Did you do the homework?" And I'd be like, "What homework?" And it really wasn't for, I don't feel like I didn't care. Like, I wanted really bad, you know, to do good in school. Like, who wants to not do good in school? It just, I don't know. It just was not there for me. I don't know if it was, you know, just a mixture of my mental illnesses starting to develop because I was developing, or, you know, my experiences going on at home, or both. I don't know. I don't think I'll ever really know. But so it was really something that I told myself I was never going to be good at it. I just wasn't. It was just something that you were born with, and I just wasn't born with it. That's what I told myself. That if I couldn't do it, you know, the way they were doing it, using their same habits and methods, that I wouldn't be able to do it at all. Like, I would ask them, like, how do you, you know, stay on top of things? Like, how do you, how do you do this? And I would, you know, try to like start over like at the beginning of every semester and be like, okay, this is, I'm gonna stay on top of it. I'm going to, you know, do everything that this friend does or this friend does. And it just never worked out. It was just like beating a dead horse. And I wanted it so badly to work, but I was trying, you know, everything that worked for my friends and not trying to figure out what was gonna work for me. Like, I was using their cheat codes, but we're playing different players, like, if that makes sense. So I was watching a video on YouTube the other day about different strategies of building generational wealth or something like that with investments and just some finance video. And I saw a comment, this woman made a comment down below and with a quote that said, the amount of time we spend believing that we can't is more than enough time to learn how we can. And that perspective just absolutely floored me. It really inspired this episode, honestly. I think I saw that and then I immediately started like writing bullet points for this episode. Even though I feel like I have jumped over those limiting beliefs of myself, for the most part, that really struck me. Looking back at all those years that I wasted when I was young, just, you know, telling myself I'm just not cut out to be a good student, I do wish so much that I could go back to younger me, having such a hard time when I really, really did want to do better so badly and tell her to find another way. To keep trying until you find another way, no matter how many times it takes. Just finding a way that feels natural to you, not the way every other person in your class with great grades does it, but, you know, the way you do it. Unfortunately, I cannot go back and do that, and I won't dwell on that. It is, you know, it is what it is. But what I can do, though, is to give myself permission to let go of any shame and embarrassment and guilt that still might be lingering for present me and for future me. It might feel like I have moved past those feelings right now that I'm talking about it, but really remembering that, you know, when it comes up in the future. So when a situation comes up that has me feeling that same way, you know, initially I'm gonna feel that way. It does take an active effort to remember things like this and not let fear or embarrassment blind me and just focus on the important thing, which is learning something the way I need to learn and not feeling ashamed about that. So the first thought that comes to your brain is, you know, if it's not the thought that you want to have, it's a thought that, you know, you have been conditioned to think, maybe a negative thing. Your second thought is your thought, the way you want to think. So don't listen to that first voice. Overpower it with your voice, for sure. So next time I'm faced to learn something or understand something better and I don't feel like I'm getting the hang of it, I will really try to take a step back and try not to waste even 1 minute being upset that I don't understand it right away, but to just immediately from the get-go start taking the steps to figuring out how I can. So when babies are learning to walk, it's brand new to them. They've never done it before. They've never felt inadequate because they can't already do it. You know, they can't just like pop out the womb walking. They don't even know that they're supposed to do it until one day they instinctually just start to pull themselves up because of something they need or want. And then they fall. and then they try to do it again, and then they fall. They might, you know, get upset at the situation, but they never tell themselves that they are not good enough. They don't even know what that means. And for those of us, you know, watching the action of a baby doing that, if you have a baby or a niece or nephew, or you've just, you know, been in the room with a baby in general, when that baby pulls itself up for the first time, this up until the, like, you know, the 16th time, when they do that and then they fall down, we are so pumped for them. We clap, we get that super annoying high-pitched voice like, oh my god, you did it, yay! We cry sometimes, like happy tears. We celebrate, and not for one second are we ever like, you know, but you fell down, so you suck. We don't say that to babies. Oh, I hope you don't. I always kind of hesitate to use that analogy when I'm trying to hype up a friend when they're feeling down about not doing as well as they wanted to at something, because I'm worried they'll be like, are you calling me a baby? But, you know, we are all babies in a way sometimes at something. And we might not ever not be afraid to learn something new. Just because you still feel afraid to, you know, to try something new doesn't mean you're not progressing. Like, you might always feel afraid. But we can always, you know, at least be afraid and try it anyways. No one has ever become an expert at anything without the blood, sweat, and tears experience. I would not trust someone saying that they were an expert unless they also can tell me all of the ways that they did not get something to work. All of the ways that they thought that they knew, but they were wrong. I would not consider somebody an expert that can't tell me all of their mistakes and lessons and how they got there. And plus, what's the fun? Like, what would make a good story out of somebody just saying, yeah, I woke up one day and I just became an NBA player. It's not very interesting. But like, I woke up one day and I decided this was my dream, and I worked really hard at it, and I practiced and I failed, and I practiced and I failed, and I got better and better and better, and now I'm an NBA player. Like, that is so much more interesting. So much more interesting. As I'm, you know, like, taking a break from writing out bullet points and stuff like that, I coincidentally scrolled across a quote by Michael Jordan, of all people, keeping that NBA theme, that says, if it turns out that my best wasn't good enough, at least I won't look back and say that I was afraid to try. So I felt like there was definitely a reason I saw that right after my NBA analogy. So definitely try to put that into practice this week. I mean, at least, at the very least, try to put into practice noticing when you're having those feelings of doubt in yourself that blind you, or, you know, defer you, prolong you from moving forward after a mistake, or, you know, not getting something right away. And share with me what you find. I definitely feel like, you know, when somebody wants to make a change like that, they don't know where to start, and they think because, you know, they still have those negative thoughts or negative feelings, they're like, okay, this isn't working. I'm just never gonna not do this. But those, you know, catching those negative thoughts and realizing when they're happening so that you can stop them and, you know, create a new narrative, that is part of what, you know, therapy is. Like, cognitive behavioral therapy, I think the word is catching those thoughts and practicing changing them. You're never gonna not have those thoughts, but I mean, you definitely can keep practicing and have those thoughts less, or maybe one day that not be your first thought right away. Maybe even, you know, having that thought initially and then immediately being like, nah, that's my old thinking. So don't don't get down on yourself if, you know, you still have those thoughts. Just notice them and practice trying to change your mindset. All right, so with that being said, I think I will wrap this episode up. I didn't say this at the beginning. I'm beating myself up right now, but totally forgot. Thank you for being here and for taking this time for yourself. Thank you for being patient while I had to make other things in my life a main focus. I tried to respond. I think I did respond to every single message that I got. I got emails, Instagram messages from people, new listeners, even, you know, 8 months after I haven't recorded an episode. It was the coolest thing, from people saying that Spotify recommended my podcast to them, and, you know, it was really cool getting to hear other people's stories. I cry every time reading people's stories. It helps me in my journey and, you know, believing in myself and what I want to do in the world. So I really appreciated all of your messages. I'm trying really hard not to cry now. But I appreciated all of your messages. I read them when I'm sad. So please message me. I love them. Even if it's just to, you don't have to tell me anything you don't want to, even if it's just to, you know, say that you listened to the episode and that you liked it, or, you know, you thought this could be better, or, you know, you want to hear about another topic specifically. I appreciate all of the feedback and requests. It really helps when I'm feeling super indecisive that week. So that is it for today. Until next time, bye.